attitudes, concepts, techniques, said Kin. Mental genes. Trouble is, all the memes likely to develop on the disk are host-destructive. Anthropocentricity is one. A pale red moon rose above the curdled clouds. Now they flew a mile apart, flew high and fast to make the hours count. Kin kept an eye on the speck that was silver and worried. Quite wrong, of course, to project human thought patterns on an alien, but a man in Silver's position would live in hope that sooner or later food would be forthcoming. Men were optimists. You couldn't expect a Shand to think like a man. It was so easy to think of your friends as humans in a skin, and for good and noble reasons people were encouraged to think of aliens as funny-shaped men. Just because they learned to play poker or read Latin didn't make them human. In short, Kin wondered when Silver would attempt suicide. She signalled Marco and told him,
"We can do nothing," he said. "I have already decided to eat no food until we reach the hub, as a gesture of solidarity. We could take disc proteins if the waiter's analysis was right," he added.
"Will that make her feel better?"
"It may make us feel better. However, there is another problem that has recently forced itself on my attention. I hesitate to mention it."
"Mention it, mention it."
"Look at the panel on your left wrist. There's an orange fluorescent line against a green strip. See it?"
Kin squinted down in the flickering light. "I see it, only it's an orange dot."
"Quite. But it should be a line. We really are running out of gas, Kin."
They flew in silence for a while. Then Kin asked, "How long?"
"About 6 hours for you and me. Perhaps an hour less for Silver. That will solve one problem. She'll come to Earth miles behind us."
"Except that we will, of course, stay with her," said Kin flatly. Marco appeared not to have heard.
"If we still had the waiter, the problem would not have been insurmountable. The hub is not too far. We could have terrorized disk people into transporting us. 100 suggestions leap to the mind. It might have been quite enjoyable and good experience."
"Experience for what?"
"Hobnobbing with the disk folk on a superior basis. I had planned, should the hub hold nothing of interest, to set up an empire. Surely the idea has occurred to you?"
It had in passing. Kin thought for a while of Genghis Marco, Marco Caesar, Presto Marco. He could do it at that. A four-armed god king.
"How long would you say it would take the disk to get onto a space-going footing?" he asked. "If that was made a goal, I mean. We have the knowledge."
"No, we don't. We think we do, but all we know is how to operate machines. Of course, you could get a spaceship built inside a decade."
"That soon. Then we could..."
"No, we couldn't." Kin had been thinking about this, too. "What could be built is a primitive capsule powered by solid-fuel rockets with enough oomph to ram the outer dome. You could launch it by dropping it over the waterfall."
"First, we'd have to unify the disk," said Marco thoughtfully. "Not difficult. Give me 500 Norsemen and..."
"There's Silver," said Kin. "And anyway, I have great hopes for the hub." "Even so." She had been doing a lot of thinking before they lost the waiter. With the waiter, they might have conquered the disk, filling the void left by the presumably departed disk creators. Without it, the best they could hope for was a comfortable life. In a strange way, it wouldn't be so bad for the other two. They would be aliens marooned on a strange world. She would be marooned among people. It was possible that she had more in common with Silver and Marco than she did with the barbarians down there. It was a dreadful possibility. "These belts are supposed to be able to fly you halfway across a system and land you on a planet," she complained.
"They were not expected to carry people thousands of miles against gravity, including many changes of altitude," said Marco. "It is most vexing."
"Vexing?"
"If you feel so strongly, I suggest you make a complaint to the manufacturers."
"How could..." "Was that a joke?" said Kin. "Good grief."
End of CD 5.